JW Mobile.
4DJW, KO4PXB Mobile.
I might be kind of hard to pick up for a few minutes until I get to the top of this. How you doing? You got off work?
It's now pulling out of the parking lot. Yeah, you got a little bit scratchy there pretty quick.
Hey, I'm in front of Haywood Mall. There's a tall hill between me and where Haywood Road goes up to Bellum Road. I'm behind a lot of dirt at the moment.
Yeah, that dirt must be diffusing that signal pretty clear.
Are you, you got any time off coming up anytime soon?
Yep, if it all goes well, even though we got a guy leaving next Friday, so that may mess up my vacation plan for the week of Christmas, because now that'll leave one tech, and so what I think we're going to have to do is split up the week of Christmas.
But somebody has to do it. I get that. I understand. I've had to do that in the past, too. But I've also had times when I was off, like now. Well, I think I'm off. I don't know if I will be for sure or not. But got side jobs going, and I don't know that they want to wait. Anyway, let's see. Today's Wednesday, hump day. Did you have a good hump day?
Sir, I did. Like I said, I've been doing DocuWare training since Monday. So that's added to one of my things that I'm going to be doing. I do management of 365 and the Shortel phones, but WebEx phones, and I'll be the DocuWare administrator.
When I used for meeting conferencing for most of my career, Teams was coming in and Zoom was coming in as I was going out. So I like WebEx. I'm used to it. It functions well for me.
It definitely functions very well, because what we like it is we can use our cell phones or our computer as a soft phone.
I'm able to do that with Zoom, too. I've been able to figure it out. It's just not as intuitive. It doesn't cost as much either. I guess you pay for the intuitiveness that you get from the product that you purchase.
Yep, it's always that way. You pay for the bells and whistles.
While you're off, are you going to stick around, or you got any long distance relatives coming in? What's going on?
The plan is my daughter from Fort Bragg and her husband are going to come down. And me and my wife and daughters are probably going to, in the local area, are probably going to go to, Saddler's Creek and go camping for a couple of days, take the towable camper up there and enjoy that time frame. Because I was still hoping it's going to work out this way, that I'll be off the Friday before Christmas, and then the day after Christmas through Friday. So they got 5 days to use. So now that's up in the air. With that guy, I'm leaving.
Heat on that camper. How do you stay warm? I mean, it has been kind of cool lately.
When you plug it in electric, it runs on electric heat. Or if you're separate, or if you're off the grid, then it'll run off the propane system, which definitely won't do as well, like I said, but when you're plugging in electric, it's electric heat, electric AC, and everything.
Oh, okay, so you're not going up there, you're going up to a campsite where they have electric you can plug into.
Sir, my four-year-old and my other daughters, more so my wife, would not be happy sitting there trying to keep that place cold. We're keeping it warm with just by the propane heat, because when it's running completely off the grid, you can sit there and it runs off of the propane. It'll run which I don't understand this one. Obviously, there's some system in there that the refrigerator will run off gas and keep it cool.
Refrigerator. Well, my family camped a lot when I was growing up. It was a tent, four cots, four sleeping bags. eggs and an ice chest, and the watermelon went under a rock in the river. No electricity. So that's pretty uptown.
Yep, it's 34 feet long. It sleeps six comfortably. It'll sleep eight, but it sleeps six very comfortably. It has a microwave, a stove, a refrigerator, shower, toilet. It's pretty much got just everything like a small, you know, truly a towable trailer.
That would be uptown. My wife was looking at a teardrop. She wanted a teardrop camper at one time. You know what those are, right?
I definitely do.
Looking at one of those. I got her to go out to a field day with me one time. She brought our dog, and I put up a tent, put up a blow-up mattress in there, and it was too hot. So she wanted me to go to the store and get an air conditioner. So I went and got an air conditioner that you could put inside there, and you run it with a Honda, one of those Honda 2000 generators. It would run either the air conditioner or my 100-watt radio, but not both at the same time.
I can truly guess which one ended up being to be run.
Well, as long as I wanted her to stay there, it had to stay cool inside the tent. Anyway, they didn't last the whole night. They got in the car and went home. She doesn't. I think she wanted a camper, one of those tear got campers. But I think once she used it, probably only used it once, and then it should be done.
That's the same way me and my wife started camping. Started out camping. We had a tent that slept 12 people and had three sides on it. You had little dividers you could put between there for privacy, and then we had the little. We actually brought the oscillating fans and put the cooling system in front of it, so it stayed cool during the nighttime, and so we enjoyed that. And then after that, we went to pop up because it was too hard for my wife to get down on that low mattress, so we got a pop up. And the interesting thing with the pop up is one day that we were actually putting it up, and we did not have the support legs down, and me and my wife got on the same side, and we're going, hey, we're up. The whole front end of it was coming up, and so we moved back to the middle, and it just slowly went down and didn't slam down or break anything. But that was funny. Then we felt the front end of it coming up when we were on both on the other end of it.
Put that leg on there. I mean, you probably didn't forget to do that again, huh?
No, sir, we did not. And the only other interesting time is when we were on the Lake Hartwell and a storm come up, and it was those big fat raindrops that were cold, and so we were, and the high wind was coming up, so me and my wife were rolling the canopy up to keep it from getting ripped off, and we told the kids to open the door because obviously for some odd reason they locked it, and they're going, why? Because we were getting soaking wet and it was cold.
One time my cousins went camping with us down when I was a kid. They went down to Myrtle Beach. We went down there to camp. Normally we went up to the mountains, but every now and then we went down to the beach and camped. And we were at the beach and a storm came up in the middle of the night. My sister and my side of the tent, the tent poles and sand, you know, they don't do that good in sand. Well, when the storm came up and it got wet, and then the wind came up and it blew the tent poles down on our side of the tent. So my sister and I were getting wet because when the tent comes in and it touches you, then water starts coming through after it touches you. And so we're telling my parents, we got to go. And they're saying, why? Because they're all nice and cozy and warm at the other end of the tent that had not collapsed yet. But we got up and looked out the tent door, and my cousins were there all packed in their station wagon looking at our tent waiting for us to get up. They all abandoned their tent in the middle of the night and got in the station wagon. Everybody's packed in there just looking. They were not happy campers at all. W4DJW.
Philip, you know, when we first got it, it was probably about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. one of our daughters woke us up, and it had the pop-up actually had little connectors on it where you could actually plug a flash, I mean, like a light inside. And the seal on the top of the strip was obviously leaking, or just had wasn't the greatest in the world. And so it was coming down to that light fixture where you just took like a RCA jack and plugged it into it, and it was coming through there. And she kept calling to my wife that she was getting wet. So I woke my wife up and said, "Honey, they're calling you." She said, "What do they want?" I said, "I don't know. They're calling you." So, but it was the fact that the water was dripping down and then they were getting wet.
I hear Leroy in there. Go ahead, Leroy.
Good evening, there, Dave, KE5WLL Mobile. I was just on the way home listening to the mail here, and thought I'd pop in and say hello before I got out real quick.
Well, good day at work, and you don't have to work too much as it gets closer to Christmas.
To work too much. I got this week and then a couple days next week to work, and then I'll be done for the first of the year.
Did you ever do much camping when you were growing up?
I done some tent camping, but not a whole lot. Ever.
Up to camp. We camped all the time. More than my sister and I cared to, but in the end, it was kind of fun. Go ahead, Lloyd.
Yeah, me and Leroy also did that rustic camping with the military, too, in the little pup tents.
Yeah, I did multiple nights out rustically. Anyways, I'm pulling into the driveway. I'm glad those radios came in. They looked like they were okay on the photos. So we'll talk to y'all later. I'm going to clear. Y'all have a good night, and we'll catch y'all later. KE5WLL.
Good evening. Good talking to you. W4DJW.
Those pup tents were canvas, so if you didn't put snow seal on them and you touched them, they would leak like a sieve. It would just start running right straight through it. And it did well until you touched the sides, and then it started pouring water in like you would not believe.
Our tent was, it was a typical sleep sport tent, and it's plenty big enough. You know, it had two wings with the crown in the center, and the thing like you were talking about out the front, that you lay some canvas on the ground, and then it had a cover over top of it, so when you walk out, if it was raining, you didn't get wet. But it was a good tent as long as you kept your hands off of the wall and the ceiling. You touch the wall or the ceiling, it's all over with. You're going to get wet.
Yep, and what we do is when you have, because you have your field gear in there with you, so you'll put your duffel bags up against the wall, and it depends on what climate you're in. When we were using those in Alaska, but we had inflatable mats that we'd put down to keep us off the snow, to keep the wind from coming underneath there, we just packed the snow up against the sides of it. So that definitely kept the cold breeze out of there, along with the metal stakes.
So we set up four cots, and then there was a piece of foam rubber that went on top of the cot, and then the sleeping bag went on top of that, sleeping bag and a pillow. And I tell you what, I stayed warm. I stayed nice and toasty, even if it's cold outside, or it's cool if it's hot outside. Either way, it was natural air conditioning. But the thing I remember the most about that is catching our food ourselves, going fishing, and catching the fish out of, and it was everybody for themselves. You catch the fish out of the creek or the river or whatever it was you were camping by, and get a skillet, put some butter in it, you know, clean your fish, put it in there and cook it and eat it. And that was I guess it was the anticipation of waiting for to catch it, waiting to clean it, waiting to cook it, and then finally eating it made it one of the best meals I ever remember.
Another very memorable thing about camping is when it's dark and you're not in a campground that's well lit, it's definitely bedtime if you don't have some extra means of light or anything else to do to continue with the light, because then you're like, okay, what now?
I'm pumping up the Coleman lanterns. I didn't think about that till you just said that. That reminded me. You pull back on it. You lift your thumb up. You pull back. You put your thumb down over the top of the hole in the plunger, and you push down. And then you repeat. And he'd pump and pump and pump, and he'd get a lot of pressure built up inside those lanterns. And then it'd have two of those little the filters that went on to the pipes that are on the inside of the lantern. And you turn the gas on, and you light them, and they turn. You know, they have to get to a stage where if you touch them, they'll crumble. And, man, those things would light up. And when he'd pump them up really good, they would light up and put out light. And then he'd pull them up into the trees, and it was like daylight out there. Those were the best lanterns ever. I don't know if they even make those things anymore.
Yes, they still make them. I've got a couple of them. Right, once that mantle gets, you know, to that white powdery phase, you don't touch it because, you're right, it will just crumble apart, and then you better hope you have new ones.
Not light, and you know, we carry them with us if we had to go somewhere, and be very careful, be very gentle with them, because you didn't want that to tear up, because that was a really, really super good source of light. I remember that. And, you know, we didn't take batteries and flashlights. We, like you said, if you didn't have a lantern, and it got dark, it was bedtime.
This is KO4PXB for ID. There's a place in just outside of Helen, Georgia, called Enota, and they have different types of camping. You can go all the way from the severe rustic where you've got an outhouse and all the way up to cabin. And the Enota campsite is actually in the middle of a valley. So about 5:30, when that sun goes down behind the other side of the hill, it starts getting dark. And you better have everything that you know where it's at that point in time, because it gets so dark and there's no lights out there. So it's beyond dark, and it gets cold, too, during the wintertime.
When we were doing that, and it was like you said, there was no light pollution anywhere whatsoever. And the people that there were other people that used to go with us when we'd go camping, and they said, lay down here and look up at the stars. And when you looked up, you could see the Milky Way just as plain as pulling up in front of your house and seeing your house. That's how distinct it was, because there was no light pollution anywhere. And they said, remember that, because the more time that goes on, the less and less you're going to be able to see of that. And you know what? I haven't seen a whole lot of that since then.
Yeah, just going to have to take yourself a trip out to the middle of nowhere and with no light and just sit there and do it again.
Debbie, I've often thought about getting a telescope and doing stuff like that. And I did have a telescope at one point in time, put it out on the back deck, but there was so much light pollution. You know, only living 2 miles away from the city of Greer, 2 miles north of Greer, and it's still a lot of light pollution. You got to get out, like you're saying. You got to get out and get into the woods where there's no light for miles and miles around.
I wonder if Chad ever got his telescope functioning the way he wanted it to, because he mentioned that the eyepiece would just pretty much go off when he was sitting there looking at something.
W4DJW, what would go off?
Eyepiece that he would have set on looking at something, and then either it would, wasn't tight or something would go on, and that, because you use a small eyepiece to kind of get a rough idea of what you're wanting to look at, and then you look through the larger eyepiece, then you'll actually see what you want. And obviously they weren't calibrated very well to see what was in the small eyepiece, like a focal eyepiece, and then the main object lens that you were looking at.
My dad's ham radio buddies, the same guy that had a radio control helicopter, also had a telescope, a big telescope. I mean, you know, when I say big, I'm saying the barrel on the telescope was probably 2.5 feet in diameter, maybe 3 feet in diameter, and pretty long. And he would let me look at, he put it in on Saturn, and then he'd put me up on a piece of wood and say, stand here and look through that lens. And I'd look through it, and it was zoomed in so big that you could see Saturn moving across the telescope. You could see the movement of Saturn in the telescope. I just thought that was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, it definitely was. That would be cool to see.
Because they record those things, make a recording of it, and then you see some people have taken it so that you can actually see why planets like that, as they interact, sometimes they go forward during part of the month, and then all of a sudden they turn around and go backward. They go the other way, and it's the speed difference and the distance from the sun that causes them to look like they're going backwards. They're not. It's just one planet's catching up to the other one because they got a shorter orbit. You know, they're closer to the sun. They got a shorter orbit than the other one. So at one point it looks like they're pulling away from you, but then the next thing you know, you're catching up to them and passing them.
Yeah, that would definitely be cool. All right, sir, I am now at my location. It's KO4PXB. I'll say 73 on your final.
All right, enjoy the rest of the evening. Good talking to you, Lloyd. W4DJ, W Mobile.
And KO4MUF.
KO4MUF, W4DJW, how are you?
Oh, I'm top shelf. How about yourself?
Well, I'm at least second shelf, maybe third, maybe between second and third. So not quite as good as you are, but still doing good.
It's a good deal there. I'm having a good evening, and I hope you are too.
Do you have to work today, or are you retired?
I wish I was retired. No, I work today.
Was it a productive day? Was it memorable?
Yes. I didn't get in trouble for anything, so I was doing good.
Look at that. I'm getting used to retiring. I'm in the end. No, I've actually left over the end of my second year, so I'm in the debut of my third year of retirement.
Nope, I still got a few years left yet before I can do that. I run heavy equipment for Anderson County.
Run? You get to move around heavy stuff, huh?
I get to move around a lot of dirt and put in box carts and things like that and build roads and reshape them and all that kind of stuff.
You know, a lot of people that do that, they will record what they're doing with a GoPro and elapsed time. And I find myself sometimes when I'm browsing on social media, I see somebody posts one of those things and I just sit there and watch. And I watch them move open an opening from a lake going down into a river and dry the whole lake out. It's just, when you start watching it, you can't stop.
Train wreck, you just can't quit watching.
It's cool, though, when you see it. I don't know. It's probably been more fun doing it, but it's pretty cool to watch.
It's enjoyable. I enjoy it. We put in big box culverts and build roads from road to road and reshape them and tear them out and redo them and just things like that.
A little while with my father, my ex-father-in-law, he had trucks and tractors and dump trucks and stuff like that, and he used to do that on the side, and he'd get me to go with him. He trained me to do it, a little bit of it. One time I lifted the dump on the dump truck too much while I was going uphill. you probably know what happens when you do that. When it got power steering all of a sudden, really, really easy.
I laughed and I just said, yep, you stood in front of the truck, Hope.
I sure did. Yeah, he probably knew that was going to happen. That's why he didn't say anything. He used to do stuff like that. He taught me how to, you know, put the chains on the bed and then lift the bed up so that it would crack open about 2 or 3 inches and then drive the whole load out to lay it out perfectly on the driveway. He could do that like it was nothing. But me, I'd have little ripples in it. I was nowhere near as good as he was.
All that tailgating.
There's a name for it, but I had the utmost respect for him and how he could handle heavy equipment like that like it was nothing. He could do it like and carry on a conversation while he was doing it, and it'd come out perfect.
Experience helps with that.
Overnight. So he drove trucks for a living, but he had his own grading equipment business on the side. He loved that kind of stuff. I used to rebuild the engines for him. He was good at using them. I was good at rebuilding them. So we made a pretty good team.
I bet you did. I bet he enjoyed that, you helping him out with the engines like that and maybe some hydraulic work and stuff like that.
Out there for a while, and when I wasn't working in that shop, he'd take me up there. He also liked rebuilding old cars, and so I'd do the engines and transmissions pieces of it, and then he'd get somebody to do the fabric on the inside, and he'd get somebody else to paint it. And in the end, he'd have a really old car that looked like it just rolled off the showroom floor.
WF4MUF, Friday.
W4DJW Mobile. And then after a while, they get tired of them and sell them and start over and do it again.
About doing that. Sell them and starting again.
Hey, busy. I got a 59 Chevrolet pickup from him. I don't know if you know what that looks like. I got dual headlights, and it was step side, not fleet side. So it had the good bed on it. It's a long bed, step side. 59 Chevy. Man, I love that truck. I'd give anything. I was looking for another one. I found one. It cost more than one of those brand new trucks that cost $80,000. And it wouldn't hold near as much. I mean, it wouldn't do near as much work, but it was more expensive. You get something like that that's in pretty decent shape, you got to pay a lot for it.
Especially if somebody's already done the work for you on it.
Where some guy posted his on social media, and man, did it make me want one of those really bad. It was the same thing. It was the step side, not the fleet side. I don't like the fleet side, and the 59 was the one they had the dual headlights on. It was a beautiful truck. He liked Ford trucks. I liked Chevy trucks.
Okay, I've got a 2013 GMC Denali, and I'm still a Chevy fan, but yes, I love the old step sides much more better than the fleet sides. I'm just a step side fan.
Dogs, and I put the wooden side rails on top of the step side, and German Shepherds would jump. And this is before I painted it all up and got a nice looking. It was still kind of rough. They jump, and then their back feet would land on top of the fender cover, and they jump again, and they go over the top. When you stand beside it with those side flats in the bed, it was over 6 feet high over the top of the bed. And those German Shepherds could jump from the ground standing right in front of it into the back of the truck and over that over that slab. That was the coolest thing.
That would be funny. Yep, the other thing is, too, with them old step sides, mine's favorite is four-wheel drive. I just don't care for a two-wheel drive. I want to be able to lift that thing if I want to.
It was three in the tree and six cylinder, and I could sit inside the fender well on the inside under the hood, raise the hood, pack my lunch, and I could sit on the fender well on the inside while I doing anything I wanted to that six cylinder. I had that thing taken out, taken apart, took it up to Doc Green's up in Traveler's Rest, had it totally rebuilt, the engine, the short block, and then the head and the cylinders and the valves and all that stuff. And painted it, put it all back in there meticulously. You could eat off of that thing. That's probably cleaner than the kitchen table.
I bet it was.
Now, the transmissions, those transmissions had many, many hundreds of thousands of miles on them when you found one, the three speeds. And they'd always come out of second gear. Some of them you had to hold it into second gear, and then that would wear that fork out that has that used inside transmission to shift the gears. But I got to where I was going through so many transmissions, I just could drive up to a junkyard, ask them if they had one. If they did, I'd change it out right there in their junkyard in about 20 minutes. And I'd leave them my old one, and I'd take theirs and go on.
He got pretty good at that, because them old three on the trees were a pain, especially in second gear, because I always seen them hanging up in second gear.
I can get underneath of it while it was in a turn or something. You'd stop, you couldn't get it, you know, and you'd run out of kinetic energy, so you have to put the brake on, crawl underneath of it, get it unhung, get back in there, and take off and go again.
Yes, sir. Or on the tree itself, it was right there where that drop rod hooked into that one up under the dash, or not under the hood, that would get some slop in it in the bolt right there, in that little bolt right in there, and that's where it would hang up too.
out of the same experience as growing up. Anyway, I'm pulling in the driveway. I got to get out here and go in the house and let the dog out. She'd probably eyes roll back in her head. Anyway, good talking to you. W4DJW.
You too. 73 KF4MUF.